As we continue our series, looking at the third commandment, teach us this morning what it means to honor your name, what it means to represent you well, and to represent you faithfully within our circles of influence. May your Holy Spirit encourage us today and challenge us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you were to research some of the laws that still exist in Canada and around the world today, you would find that there are many outdated and strange laws that are still on the law books. These laws were enacted many years ago, and for whatever reason, no one has bothered to remove them. Let me give you a few examples of some strange laws that are still technically in effect today. In the state of Minnesota, it is illegal to tease skunks, with good reason. In Vermont, it is illegal for women to wear false teeth unless they have written permission from their husbands. In the state of Alabama, it is illegal to drive a car while blindfolded. Good thing. In Florida, if you tie an elephant to a parking meter, you must put change in the meter as you would for any vehicle. In West Virginia, it is illegal to tell humorous stories or jokes from a church pulpit. In North Dakota, it is illegal to fall asleep with your shoes on. And in Texas, it is illegal to shoot a buffalo from a second-story building. I presume you can shoot one from a first story or third and so on. Closer to home, it is illegal in Toronto to drag a dead horse down Yonge Street on a Sunday. In Ottawa, it is illegal to eat ice cream on Sunday in the downtown area of the city. Finally, in Nova Scotia, it is against the law to water your grass while it's raining. Now, the laws I just shared with you were certainly written for a particular day and age when life was different. And as society changes, our laws change and adapt as well. Although the laws within a society often change, this is not true when it comes to God's moral law. In Scripture, God has clearly defined right from wrong. He has clearly defined what is just and what is unjust. And as I've been sharing during our current sermon series, God's moral law was never intended to enslave us. His law was given to reveal that he is holy and to show us that we sin and fall short of his holy nature. Furthermore, God's moral law was given to enrich our lives and to enable us to experience strong, healthy relationships. When we follow the ways of God, we live life the way God, our Creator, intended life to be lived. Today's message is part three in a series on the Ten Commandments. Now imagine for a moment if we lived in a world where everyone obeyed these Ten Commandments. I think the world would be a much better place, wouldn't it? There would be no more murder, no stealing, no dishonesty, and everyone would remain faithful in their marriages. Children would respect their parents, and people would be content not coveting what belongs to others. But what about the third commandment, which says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God"? How would keeping this commandment make the world a better place? Would people even notice if this commandment was kept or if it was ignored? Today, we're going to explore the meaning of the third commandment and why God gave this to us. As we will see, this commandment is extremely significant. So please follow along as I read just one verse for you this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11. Deuteronomy 5, verse 11. And there we're told, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." When most people think about this commandment and they think about how it is broken, they think about God's name being used as a form of profanity. And while it is true that this commandment prohibits the use of God's name as a form of profanity, it refers to much more than this. In practical terms, then, this commandment means at least four different things. First, we are not to use God's name in an unworthy manner. We are not to use his name in an unworthy manner. Behind the third commandment is the idea that we are not to treat God's name as though it has no meaning and no significance. In Scripture, a person's name was closely associated with their character and their reputation. For example, the name Adam means man. Eve means life-giver. Abraham means father of many nations. In the New Testament, the disciple Peter, his name means rock, which was a reference to his rock-like faith. And he was the foundation upon which Jesus built his church. In Scripture, when you called a person by their name, you were not just identifying that person, you were also identifying something about their character. As creator and ruler of all, the Lord is worthy of respect and reverence. To see his name or to use his name as profanity or to use his name carelessly is equivalent to degrading the very character and nature of God. Casual use of God's name is prohibited because it reduces our sensitivity to the enormous reverence that we owe to God. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, we know that, of course, as the Lord's Prayer, he began that prayer with these familiar words. He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." The word hallowed means holy and sacred. When Jesus taught us to pray those words, he was teaching us to treat God's name with honor and awe because he is holy and he is set apart from his creation. We must never, ever lose sight of God's holiness, majesty, and greatness. When Isaiah, back in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, when Isaiah had a vision of God recorded in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah fell face down before the Lord. In the presence of God, Isaiah became deeply aware of his human sinfulness in contrast to God's holiness and majesty. When people use God's name casually or as a form of profanity, they disrespect the Lord of creation. Let me draw your attention to a second point. The third commandment means we are not to use God's name to further our own agenda. Let me explain what I mean. In Deuteronomy 18:20, it warns us about presuming to speak on behalf of God. In other words, don't attribute words to God that he never spoke. For example, throughout history, people have used the Bible to justify evils like apartheid, slavery, racism, wife abuse, the bombing of abortion clinics, and so on. When we twist Scripture to suit our own agenda, rather than following God's agenda, we violate the third commandment. Before we presume to speak on behalf of God, we need to be careful that we are not using God's name to further our own goals. The right use of God's name is to worship him, as Psalm 34:3 says, "Glorify the Lord and let us exalt his name." I once read a story about a woman who married a man who claimed to be a Christian. He convinced the woman that he was a successful millionaire businessman who wanted to use his wealth and his influence for ministry and missions work. The woman was looking forward to a bright future with this man, but after the marriage vows were exchanged, she began to notice some rather disturbing things. It turns out that her husband was not a believer, he was a liar. He essentially had no money, and he ended up depleting this woman's bank account, which ruined her financially. Now, as you can imagine, the woman was devastated because the man she had fallen in love with turned out to be a liar and a hypocrite. This leads us to a third point. The third commandment means that we are not to use God's name to cover up dishonesty and deceit. In Leviticus 19:12, the Lord says, "Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God." I'm sure we've all met somebody who maybe they've told a lie and they've tried to cover up that lie by saying, "I swear to God," or, "As God is my witness, I'm telling you the truth." To use God's name to deceive another person is to misuse his name. In Matthew 5:37, Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." We should simply tell the truth without appealing to God's name to make ourselves sound more believable or more trustworthy. Let me draw your attention to a fourth meaning behind the third commandment. We are not to misrepresent God's character. We are not to misrepresent his character. Listen to what Titus 1:16 says about those who profess to be followers of Christ, but their lives are full of hypocrisy. Paul said to Titus, "They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him." And I think what Paul is saying there to Titus in Titus 1:16 is that whenever our lives do not line up with our profession of faith, we are engaging in a form of blasphemy. As Christians, we must always be aware that we represent the name of Christ. The credibility of the Christian faith suffers when the world sees professing Christians who lack integrity, whether that be in the marketplace or in the community. For example, the Christian employee who has a very poor work ethic, or the Christian business person who cheats his customers, these will create cynicism about Christ. How we conduct ourselves at work, in our neighborhood, in our relationships, and within our home reflects upon our Lord, because we are his representatives to a watching world. The Jews of the Old Testament clearly understood the importance of showing respect for God by honoring his name. The Old Testament scriptures were copied by scribes who carefully followed a set of rules to make sure they copied God's word accurately. It's interesting to note and to understand what happened when a scribe was copying scripture. And when that scribe came to the principal name for God that is used in the Old Testament, the name Jehovah, before a scribe would write down the name of Jehovah, he would rise from his seat and he would go to a private room where he would take off his robes, he would bathe himself, and then he would put on clean clothes before returning to work. And then he would kneel down and confess his sins before he wrote the name Jehovah. At the heart of the third commandment lies an important truth. We must never intentionally do anything to devalue God or anything that makes his name seem insignificant and irrelevant. Over the years, companies have discovered that the name of a product can have significant impact upon the success or failure of that particular product. The reason, of course, is that we associate certain things with a name or with a label. For example, several years ago in California, the prune industry realized that prunes had a negative image in the minds of many consumers. So they began to market prunes as dried plums, and sales of prunes skyrocketed. When Canadian scientists developed an oil from the rapeseed plant, they discovered that calling it rapeseed oil was not working. So they changed the name to canola oil, and sales increased dramatically. Back in 1977, a businessman named Lee Lentz traveled to Chile and discovered a species of fish called the toothfish. But he had a hard time marketing this fish in the United States because of its name. No one wanted to eat something that was called the toothfish. So the name was changed to Chilean bass fish. It's now so popular with Americans that this fish is on the verge of extinction. Back in the 1960s, an American businessman renamed a fruit that was called the Chinese gooseberry. He changed the name of the Chinese gooseberry to kiwi, and after the name change, the popularity of this fruit spiked. So whether we are talking about products or people, names are critically important because we associate positive or negative things with a name. So it's especially important that God's name be honored and treated with the respect that his name is due. This brings us to the importance of the third commandment. The third commandment is important for at least three reasons. First, God's name represents his character and his reputation. In biblical times, names were clearly linked to a person's character or nature. That's why Proverbs 22:1 says that a good name, or in other words, a good reputation, is more desirable than great riches. So when a person devalues the name of God by misusing his name, that person is really slandering the name, character, and reputation of Christ. In contemporary society, we have laws in place to protect people and corporations from slander. When a person's name is dragged through the mud by someone else, it's not just a name that is being defiled. It is the person behind the name who stands to lose their reputation. Likewise, when the Lord's name is misused, it is really an attack on God's character because his name is inseparable from who he is. Second, God's name is holy. God's name is holy. To say that God's name is holy is another way of saying that his name is set apart from all others. His name is sacred. Psalm 111:9 says, "Holy and awesome is his name." In Leviticus 22:32, the Lord said, "Do not profane my holy name." And Philippians 2:10 tells us that one day at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. Unfortunately, in our society, God's name is not set apart as holy. His name is most often used as profanity, whether it's on social media, in movies, or in the workplace. There is a third reason why this commandment is important. The Lord God is to be taken seriously. God is to be taken seriously. We must remember that the Ten Commandments were given to the nation of Israel as part of their covenant relationship with God. These commandments certainly apply to every human being. However, they were specifically given to those who represented the name of God. God wanted his people to honor his name by obeying his will. In Deuteronomy 28:58, the Lord instructed his people to carefully obey his commands. And when they did this, they would respect and represent his name faithfully. We do not respect God's name if we don't take him seriously. One of the worst things we can do is to be indifferent toward God. Jesus spoke about this in Revelation chapter 3. He condemned those who were lukewarm about their faith. In the eyes of God, apathy and indifference toward Christ is every bit as offensive as outright rejection of Christ. Back in 2007, I think this is a kind of scenario that's repeated itself on many occasions. But back in 2007, 24 dentistry students at Rutgers University were sentenced to a year of community service after it was discovered that they had falsified their credits for performing root canals and dental fillings. Apparently, they never took the courses to qualify them for performing these important dental services and procedures. According to the Washington Post, a man who had been posing as a heart and lung surgeon in Michigan was arrested after it was discovered that his medical degree was counterfeit. The man is facing 14 years in prison. Now, I'm sure none of us would want an unqualified surgeon or dentist to do any type of procedure on us. These are good examples of why integrity is so important. At the heart of the third commandment is really the issue of integrity. We must never do or say anything that devalues God or makes him seem insignificant. So let me close with two ways we can apply this message to our lives. How do I obey? How do I apply this third commandment? First, I honor this commandment by being a faithful representative of Christ. On the surface, this commandment appears to only deal with our speech. As I said earlier, we often see it as avoiding using the Lord's name as a form of profanity. And certainly we are not to speak in a way that disrespects the Lord. However, this commandment also deals with our actions. We are not to give God lip service. We are to live with Christ-like integrity so that God's name is honored in our life. Jesus warned us that some people will be surprised on Judgment Day when they learn about their eternal fate. He said in Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven." And the point is, there are people who profess to have faith in Christ, but their actions prove that their faith is not sincere. Jesus said that we will recognize his true followers by the kind of fruit that their lives produce. We are not saved by works. We are saved through our faith in Christ and in Christ alone. But good works like love, compassion, and a desire to obey God are evidence that our faith is genuine. We honor the third commandment by sincerely living out our faith so that God's name is honored in our life. Second, I honor the third commandment by controlling my tongue. Whenever we cheapen God's name by using it in swearing or by using it carelessly in our speech, we violate the third commandment. Furthermore, whenever we use our tongue to slander the character of another human being or to spread hurtful gossip about someone else, we break this commandment. People are made in the image of God. And whenever we devalue another human being with our words, we slander the one who created that person. As we leave today, I encourage you, and I encourage myself, that we represent the name of Christ to a lost and dark world. We honor his name when we live lives that are marked by love, faithfulness, and godliness. Let us pray. Father, as we've seen this morning, there is a lot of substance, a lot of depth to this third commandment. It is not merely a matter of using the name of the Lord in profanity. It is really at the essence of this commandment, how we live our lives, that we are to live a life in such a way that your name is honored in our life. Father, it is all about being faithful representatives of Christ. Scripture tells us that we are ambassadors of Christ. In other words, we represent his name. We represent his person to this world. Lord, thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you give us the ability, the power to live lives that honor you. May we do that each and every day, whether it is through our words or our actions. May the name of Christ be honored in our church, in our workplaces, in our homes, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we partake in communion, we're going to continue to worship the Lord. Please stand.
Just as you stand, we focus this morning on the name of Jesus. And Jesus has many names: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. But this morning we want to focus on the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I know Pastor just asked you to stand, but I'd like you to sit down again. Pastor and I didn't talk about this. All right, so this song actually is very reverent, and as we move towards communion, I just want you to sit in your seats until we get to the fourth verse. And then at the fourth verse, the words actually instruct us to rise. It says, "And so in thankfulness and faith, we rise." So that's when we'll stand up. Is that okay? Sorry, Pastor. So we're going to enjoy this song together as we prepare for communion. Remember, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God.
Behold the Lamb who bears our sins away, slain for us. And we remember the promise made that all who come in faith find forgiveness at the cross.
So we
share. So we share in this bread of life, and we drink of his sacrifice as a sign of abundance of peace.